Blog Talk Radio.
That was the original rendition of God Bless America, sung by Kate Smith, which made it so well known as it remains today. I get up every morning and bless America and thank God for it. She's a great country, but we're starting to lose her. And that's what we're going to talk about today, folks. We're in a funk. America's in a funk, or maybe it's just a stupor. But the economy is going nowhere but down. People are hurting and confused. Yet our political elites continue to talk about how things are improving and how the unemployment numbers are much improved. Anyone who lives outside of the New York, D.C. Beltway area knows this is absolute hogwash. Yet the lies just continue and become bigger. And it doesn't matter which party you're talking about. The Democrats brag about how business is improving and jobs are improving, and the Republicans keep telling their conservative base that they are fighting for them, yet the citizens, regardless of political persuasion, know neither one of those things is so. Maybe that's what the British were thinking when they did what they did last week. Hearing a lot of stuff today about, oh, Britain's going to collapse, they're in trouble, nobody's going to trade with them, blah, blah. And this is coming from the socialistic European Union, which created the problem in the first place. Kind of like what's going on in America. The power elites create the problem. And then they tell us how bad it is. And sadly, so many of us are stupid enough to give them another chance when they created the problem in the first place. Before I bring on my guest, I want to just quickly look at the pictures. There's a couple of directional signs. One for truth. And the others for lies. Which way are we headed? Then there's the word honesty with a little talking about it. Honesty is important. You know, what you say and mean needs to be true. If not, you're not only kidding yourself, but you're kidding everyone around you. And, of course, God Bless America. I don't have to go any further with that. We just heard the beautiful rendition by Kate Smith. Brexit, the flag and symbol for the exit of Britain from the EU, which is still reverberating in the stock markets, but they'll get over it. And then there's sometimes what I really think of the American Congress. Nothing much better than a bunch of monkeys. And then beautiful sights from America, representative of the greatness that this country was and that it can be again. The Statue of Liberty on the east, the fruited plain through the middle, and the Golden Gate Bridge on the west. And lastly, freedom with barbed wire superimposed on the picture, because if we don't keep our freedom and don't work to keep it, we will be behind barbed wire or we will end up in chains. Oh, you might not see it as chains, but you will be completely controlled in what you do and think. So with that out of the way, folks, let me bring on my guest. My guest is Mark Collier. He is a transplanted Floridian who is now a genuine North Carolina mountain man. Mark, how are things up there in the hills of North Carolina?
Well, actually, things are going well for us. We're doing quite well. It's a little overcast today and a little humid, but it's not nearly as hot. That's probably a calm, cool, collected 74 or 5 degrees. And this is kind of the calm before the storm, I can tell you. So I can't wait to get into our topic. You know, as I wrote you.
Well, we're going to do that.
All right. Well, I'm just going to step right in there and put my two cents in. I wrote you the other night about the winds of change are blowing across the countries that either founded freedom or defined freedom, all right? There seems to be this nucleus of people going, well, you know, what in the heck are these people thinking and doing? They just don't get it. And this European Union, I think they're just, actually, I think they're a bunch of closet Nazis. The president of the EU Union says, the British have violated the rules. It is not the EU philosophy to let the crowd decide its fate. Really? I was just shocked and flabbergasted that somebody would actually say that. So what's their response to this? Instead of encouraging, you know, the will of the people and trying to adjust, adapt, and overcome, you know, within a structure, they decide they're going to go ahead and create a European super state. I don't know if you read about that, but it's just foolish thing I ever saw. Everybody wants out of that mess, and yet Germany and France are going to work together, dissolve borders, dissolve armies, work as a large trading bloc. Listen, given the history of Europe, and I know you are deep in history, how long do you think the French and Germans are going to get along before one of them says, to heck with you, right? This is a failed experiment from the start. I think they are on the run. Freedom is on the rise. Liberty is a natural birthright of man. And the right to decide one's own fate, free will. I think it just blows me away. These people will not go quietly in the night. This is one of these twilight struggles that we're going to have to throw these people, the chains off our shoulders, and move in the direction that we want to go. Now, that is my opening statement. How's that?
Well, I think it's a very good one. I mean, and you know, what's going on in Europe is going on here, although they're for different reasons, but I mean, similar reasons, but there's some significant differences. Nigel Farage, you know, the guy that really got the whole Brexit thing going. I mean, Boris Johnson, the politician, is trying to get credit for it a lot, but it was really Nigel with his UK Independence Party, and he's been working on this for years. And Nigel was on Fox Business yesterday, and I can't remember who the young lady was who was interviewing, but she was saying, well, isn't it true that what's going on in Britain is just like in America? And he just looked at her with a kind of a funny look on his face and said, no, there's a huge difference. Picture it this way. We British were in a situation where 70% of our laws were written by a foreign entity. Our courts had no say in it. Matter of fact, they were overruled constantly. And, of course, our borders were taken down so that anybody that was in the 500 million area that wanted to come in could do so. That was their right to do. And yet we were expected to take care of them and all this other stuff. And he said, finally, the people just spoke up. You've got a different problem over there. Your problem is internal. And he's right, because America doesn't have to do any of these things. We have allowed ourselves to be lulled into sleep by fancy words and dreams about fairness and equality and all these other things. And they're all, you know, fairness and equality are wonderful things, but humanity is not fair and equal in the way things end up. It's not that way. We are mortal sinners. We are not all good. And that's what nobody takes into account. And that's why it was so important that our nation be founded under God. You know, the Ten Commandments, the Sermon on the Mount, all those types of things, which basically set out standards for living which avoid problems. Whether you believe in the Christian faith or the Torah, whatever, it, you know, those rules kept reasonable order and also gave people the opportunity to improve themselves because you were given free will. You know, so it's up to you to do what you can with your free will. And if you make stupid mistakes like you decide as a kid, you're not going to study in school. Your plan is to be a professional athlete and you get your knee blown out when you're a sophomore in high school. Well, guess what? You're out of luck. And that's just the way it is. Now, there are certain things, safety blankets, security blankets to try to help you from completely going under. But the point is we've taken that concept and put it on steroids so that now, you know, we're at the tipping point of more people on the take than are giving in. And at the same time
right.
this is going on, we now hear candidates running for office saying, we're going to raise taxes more and more and more. And, of course, it's always on the corporations, which do not pay taxes. All they do is pass those added charges on to the customer who buys the stuff. So the prices go up. But Americans have allowed themselves to be so lulled into stupidity, you know, by political correctness. I mean, 19-year-old college kids with safe rooms because they don't want somebody using a certain word, while we got 19-year-old, I'll call them boys and girls, over in combat harm overseas getting shot at and killed. What kind of society is this? And I think the average American applying common sense, just like the average Brit, is looking at all of these things and say, this is, pardon my French, a bunch of crap, and we're not going to take it anymore. That's what I say.
Well,
how about you?
Well,
continue.
The applause meter. Yeah. Well, no, the whole thing here is that I think that it is naturally man's right to seek his own destiny. And I don't mean, I'm talking about mankind. But when you're talking
yes.
about something like this, it's just that's the way God intended it, all right? We've gotten away from that in this country, and God only knows those poor folks over in Europe are just completely knotted up in this union thing, all right? It has nothing to do with NATO. It has nothing to do with Marx, you know, Marquette's, excuse me. And, you know, this whole thing just doesn't make any sense. These people seem to think that we dictate, you know, we tell you how it is and that's the way it is. Well, hold on a minute. To a certain extent, as Jefferson said, government is supposed to do what the individual citizen cannot. And that's basically provide for the common defense and a few other things. And I believe fairness and quality and, you know, the Food and Drug Administration or whatever.
But be careful. Be real careful with the word equality, because equality means you've got the opportunity to do your best, but it does not mean that the outcome is going to be equal. And that's where we've gone so wrong, particularly in college education today, because they want everybody to be equal. No, and nothing ends up equal. You've got to have the equal chance to do the best you can to attain that level. But once you've been given the chance to work at that, then it's up to you to get there.
No, absolutely. It's equality of opportunity, not necessarily of outcome.
Yes.
And I know where you're going with that. But here, the thing that grabbed me about the Brexit was that took real brass. These people said, we've had enough, all right? And it was overwhelming. If you looked at the charts, you know, a breakdown of the districts in Britain and the various, you know, other satellite states. I'm talking about, you know, Northern Ireland. I'm talking about Scotland, places like that. It was very interesting to see how this worked. It was one of those things, red state, blue state kind of thing. That is a totally divided nation in terms of what people think. And there's going to be some blowback. Yeah, I can tell. These globalist guys and bankers and, you know, the whole cabal of these folks who think that they know better than the average citizen what's best for the average citizen, it's going to be a long-term fight. And you're absolutely right. We're in the same – we may not be playing the same game as the Brits, but we're in the ballpark. And I think this whole thing,
yes,
and it's not mentioned today, has started with somebody saying this correctness nonsense has to stop. Let's call it what it is. Let's start to work toward an understanding of the problem, and only then can we actually try to find a solution. It appears that the Brits are on their way. I believe deep down in my heart, and I'll be crushed if it doesn't work out this way, but I think we're headed that way too on November 8th. I really think people have had enough of this. I think that, you know, these folks in Washington just don't get it. They don't understand it. They don't want to understand it. You know, people like Mitch McConnell so firmly entrenched that, you know, he can't even mouth the words liberty and freedom. I've never heard him say it. And I, you know, self-determination and things like that, those are words that come out of the leadership of the Republican Party. They don't go, you know, and say, you know, we believe in X and this is why we're working toward this. They don't frame it in that context. It's mind-boggling that, you know, the land of the Magna Carta, okay, has been going on for 700-800 years now. These folks decided, okay, this is how it is. And I was just so tickled Friday morning, I couldn't stand it. But I knew that there was going to be, you know, there would be some consequences. But all that the English are saying is get off our backs and, you know, we'll go our own way. Now, when you were talking about, oh, there'll be some repercussions, okay, yes, probably. But look, that's the fifth largest economy in the world. They've been doing this a long time, all right? We're the largest economy in the world, followed closely now, I believe, by China, although they're having their problems. You know, and you've got Germany thrown in there, Japan, and a few other, you know, and it's like, well, you don't think people want to trade with the United States and Canada and Britain and, you know, Australia, New Zealand, all of it? All of these colonies will probably have to pick up some of the slack. And, you know, I think, you know, we get along fine with the British. They've been one of our staunchest allies, you know, the last 20 or 30 years. And I believe, you know, I think it's going to work out fine. But the gravy train that these folks seem to think that they're entitled to is not going to flow into their collective pockets anymore. And I think that's just great. It might start to come down to the common man who dearly needs a raise, dearly needs more hours, dearly needs more opportunity in what he or she is doing. And this is very encouraging. What say you?
Well, I agree. I think the only business in the long run that's going to be losing money from it are the people that produce caviar and champagne, because if you ever look at what goes on in Brussels, that seems to be what is most of it. They're sitting around, you know, stuffing themselves in some fancy place while they tell the rest of the world, go eat cake. You know, it reminds me of Marie Antoinette, the way they operate. And, you know, and the UN's the same way. That's the other thing. The EU and the UN are tied at the hip. So our relationship with the UN is kind of the same thing. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but it's a fact now. UN police are in the United States, and they're here to supposedly quell extremism when it's needed. Now, what does that mean? I don't even want to go there because I know what it means in the eyes of those that are doing it. I mean, they've been seen outside of Washington, D.C., a convoy of UN military police trucks were seen on the Beltway heading somewhere. And so I'm just thinking to myself, oh, boy, here we go. So, you know, I don't know what this means, and I don't want to get into fear stuff, so I'm going to leave it alone, but it's there. It's been spotted. It's been photographed. It's there, and it has no business being there. There is no reason why the United States of America would bring in police or troops or whatever you want to call them from a foreign entity into the United States to be involved in our business. That needs, it's the same thing as what the EU has been doing to the British in different ways ever since the 1980s. And this stuff has got to stop, and America needs to speak up, and we need to speak up loudly. The only thing that is scary now is you really don't know what's going on, because there is no such thing as true journalism. There is no reporting on what's going on. If you notice, all you hear are these polls. Yesterday the polls came out, you know, with the Democrats way in a big lead, and it was, you know, the usual stuff. But, you know, when you look down inside the poll and you look at the questions and you look at this, you know, at the sample that they use, it's all bogus. They load
right.
the sample up percentage-wise with what they wanted to do what it does, so it means absolutely nothing. So, and I want to tell all listeners, regardless of your persuasion, stop believing polls. Look for yourself what's going on. Listen and read. Pay attention instead of just thinking you can go turn on the evening news and watch 15 seconds and now you're an expert on world affairs, because they're not telling you anything. They spend most of their time talking about the Kardashians or some sports guy that got in trouble. Or this guy from Black Entertainment Television at their awards ceremony the other night that was on the air for about 20 minutes completely bad-mouthing the United States of America and the Caucasian race, I might add. And I thought to myself, what if that happened in reverse? What would happen if that happened in reverse? So people need to calm down, and they need to face reality, and they need to face the truth, just like the city of Baltimore is having to face the truth on their police department.
Yes.
They've
had
three
trials or what?
And three acquittals.
Is that amazing?
Well,
it's just that,
well,
you
mean,
know,
when,
obviously
when
all
DA,
of that stuff that that prosecutor did was purely political at that time. She's not going to get a single conviction. Yeah, you know, pandering, you know, God only knows what those poor cops went through, you know, in their personal lives. You know, reputations were ruined. You know, now the police don't even want to get involved. Well, I don't blame them. You know what? You're going to have somebody like that breathe down your neck, and it's all a phony lie. Then, you know, why do your job?
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to put my life at risk. You know, I wouldn't. You wouldn't. I wouldn't expect them to.
Of course not. Not under those circumstances.
You know, and you're right about this UN thing, and I'm not going to go into that either. I've got a couple of theories, but, you know, that's another show. But to the fact that we have peacekeepers, quote unquote, running around this country, they're all over the West Coast, they're all over Texas, they're all over now, it appears, the East Coast. So what's going on here exactly? Why isn't anybody starting to ask some questions? You know, if our government and the representatives that we elect to enact our will as agents not going to ask any questions, then maybe we need to find some new agents. You've been talking about, you know,
exactly.
term limits and tossing some of these people out of here and, you know, getting right with, you know, the real world, God, and everything else that goes along with that. You know, how about somebody start to question some of this, these rulings from the Supreme Court? It's mind-boggling what these folks are trying to do here. And you are right.
Well, I tell you
time
what.
To wake up, smell the coffee, and get going again. Go ahead.
Funny you should bring up the Supreme Court. I want to get to that in a minute, but I want to take a little break first. And I want to do it because I'm really, really happy about something. As you know, Mark, I attended the University of Arizona. And right now, as we speak, they are in the College World Series in the championship round. The first game was last night of the best-of-seven series, and they beat Coastal Carolina 3-0. So they're doing very, very well. So I couldn't find the fight song to play, But I did find something about Arizona, so we're going to take a break, and I'm going to play a song about Arizona, and then we'll come back, and we'll get back to real business. But my Wildcats are 1-0 in the best of seven, playing Coastal Carolina. Who'd have thunk? The Chanticleers got a tough,
yep.
got a tough, tough team. But the problem with the Chanticleers is their best pitcher has been hurt, and he's the one that exceeded rotation limits to pitch a lot for them. But they're a tough team, so, you know, it's not over till it's over. But anyway, here is a song about my college state, the Grand Canyon State. And go Arizona Wildcats. We'll be back in just a minute.
She must belong to San Francisco, she must have lost her way. Post in a poster, a poncho in Cisco, one California day. She says she believes in Robin Hood and Brotherhood and colors of green and gray. And all you can do is laugh at her. I will be guide your way. I'll be the Count of Monte Cristo. You'll be the Count of Smain. And you can believe in Robin Hood and Brotherhood and rolling the ball in the hay. And I will be reading you an Aesop's fable.
Okay, folks, bear down, Arizona Wildcats, and let's take game two tonight in the College World Series. I'm proud of you. Okay, I've got Mark back with me, and we're on a truth and honesty thing today. And Mark just mentioned a little bit about the courts, because the courts are a big issue in America, just like the European courts were a big issue for the British. That's probably what got things more riled up than anything. But yesterday, the Supreme Court made a ruling that just befuddles my mind. And it was their ruling about abortion. Now, before anybody gets upset, I'm not talking about the rightness or wrongness of abortion. I've got my own personal view. I'm not bringing it up. But what I am talking about is the fact that Texas had written a law which basically said that to have an abortion clinic, it was important that the medical standards, you had to have a licensed doctor, and you had to have the medical health standards met in the clinic that you would require in a hospital. And I thought to myself, gee, That doesn't seem too bad. A woman goes in to have a medical procedure done. It requires some surgery. And so you would think you would want to make sure that the sanitation, the skill level, and all those sorts of things were in place. But no, the Supreme Court said it was unconstitutional for the state to do that. Now, I clearly believe that's outside of their purview. Had Texas tried to pass a law saying that abortions are outlawed, I would have said, no, they can't do that. That's not the way it can be done. Not now. The precedent's been set too long. But should they be allowed to determine how medical procedures are done in their state to meet standards that most people would expect if they went in there for a procedure, at least I would think. I can't imagine anyone that would want to go into Kermit Gosnell's clinic in Philadelphia again. I mean, you look what happened. And none of these facilities, most of them didn't meet those standards. And so the women's movement got up in arms saying, narrow, you know, they got up in arms saying, oh, this is horrible, this is unconstitutional, this is illegal, blah, blah, blah. And good old Anthony Kennedy was the swing vote. Because you know that Obama's appointees, they don't care. They don't care. This abortion thing is not about the health of women, folks. That's not what it's about. But I'm just going to leave it at that. But anyway, what do you think about that, Mark? I mean, I think they're treading further and further beyond where they should be going, and I think people have all the reason in the world to be outraged. And frankly, I think it's time to consider a 12-year term for Supreme Court justice, period. What say you?
Well, I think that there's an age limit. You know, it should be an age limit in the U.S. Senate, should be an age limit to serve in the government, period, and the Supreme Court's one of them. Anthony Kennedy's, what, pushing 90 now? Come on, guy.
Here's, I don't know, he looks like he needs a gurney.
Well, he's probably needs, needs something. Oxygen, maybe. I don't know. The point being, and this is what gets me, in two instances, they contradict themselves. All right? They say states cannot have these regulations based on health and basic, like an outpatient surgery center would have a certain amount of regulations about how clean things are, how, things are done. And that's fair, right? I think that's reasonable. But on the other hand, the Supreme Court just said, I guess it was about a month ago, that certain gun restrictions, regulations, whatever, can be determined by the state. Now, you can't have states' rights to determination in one area. Now, we're talking about specifically Connecticut and New York in response to Sandy Hook. And then turn around and say, well, no, you can't do that. Texas, you can't do that because that's unconstitutional. There's something wrong there. I don't know if you see it or I said it right, but you cannot have the 10th Amendment apply selectively. It is or it isn't. Okay? In other words, what are you really trying to say here? There are certain institutions and certain subjects that are taboo for states to discuss? No, I don't think so. You know, New York has every right to say, well, we want a longer waiting time for the approval of ownership, go through the FBI checks and all that. We want more time. Well, that's a state prerogative. You want it longer than 3 days, you want it a week, fine. That's what, that works, whatever or however you want it to. Connecticut, same way. But you cannot then turn around and say, well, you cannot regulate a health clinic because that limits the rights of women's reproductive rights. No, it does not at all. It makes no sense to me. And this is the kind of arbitrariness that really I think is starting to befuddle and flabbergast, actually is a better word, the American people. Because on one hand, we're being told one thing, and then the government goes up, does completely opposite. It doesn't work that way, Jim. You know, there are no set standards. There's no, you know, yes, we believe in more federal control. Well, then come out and say that. But you cannot have it both ways. Or, you know, somebody says, well, you know, I believe more in states' rights to determine, and, you know, it's closer to the people, and they are, you know, they give up certain activities to the local and state government because that's the source of the power. It comes from the people. So I think that goes back to the Brexit thing. I think it goes back to our, obviously, our sort of disjointed election, you know, primary, you know, season, in that people want to take some of this back. We have not acquiesced. The governed are not happy. It's like, well, hold on, when are you guys going to get the message? And, you know, I think a judge has to be renewed, period. You know, in most cases, circuit judges are elected every, what is it, 6 years or so? They don't perform, get them out of there. They're weird, or they get strange as they get older. Get them out. You know, my rule of thumb, just because I'm cantankerous, you've made me that way over the last 14 years that I've known you. So
that, blame it on me.
Well, I'm a junior curmudgeon, and I admit it. I'm actually becoming proud of it. Look, if you're too old, if you are too old to renew your driver's license, you are way too old to be on the Supreme Court and the U.S. Senate. How's that?
Bingo. Well, it's good, but I still think 12 years
is
enough.
About it. Well, the John McCain couldn't go get a driver's license renewed. He's too old. Okay, well, then what are you doing in the U.S. Senate?
He's got limos. He doesn't need to drive. He doesn't have to worry about this.
Well, but you know what I mean.
That's what these guys are.
Okay,
know.
Go get your license renewed, John, and see how that works, Senator. I'll tell you what, you couldn't pass the eye exam.
Listen, folks, I'm not there yet, but if you're over 70 in the age of, over the age of 70 in Florida, and you have a car accident, I'm telling you, DMV comes looking at you, and they're looking for any way they can to take your license. I've got some people I know that's happened to, and they weren't at fault. They were rear-ended. Didn't matter. They were able to basically get it back, but, I mean, that's what goes on. But yet at the same time, we're doing those things, but we're having – Mark makes the point. We're putting people in these high places, making decisions that impact our lives for the rest of our lives, who probably are not quite sure sometimes where they are when they're doing it. I have my doubts sometimes. But anyway, here's the thing, Mark. We're talking about truth and honesty. And what it boils down to is what creates this requirement for truth and honesty is because man was created as an individual. You know, I get back to my upbringing. We were created as an image of God, and we were supposed to live like God, which means that we were given the ability and requirement to make our own decisions. So that brought with it a desire for liberty and freedom. You can't make your own decisions without liberty and freedom. And you can't be free and prosperous as an individual unless you get rid of a yoke, if you have one, which is nothing more than overreaching and or just plain bad government. Tyranny never leads you to a future worth having. It only puts you in chains. And the chains are used to manipulate you by those who think they know better, be it the EU, the UN, the White House, the Congress, whoever it might be. And what you're saying in a nutshell is people are yearning to break those chains. It's what happened in England, and it's going on right now. And it, whether you like it or not, or you like the guy or not, it's what was sowing the seeds for Donald Trump quite a while back and what got it going. But what makes it even worse, and particularly here in America and also it's been in Britain, is there's nothing wrong with having some newcomers. But when you bring in newcomers who not only do not want to be assimilated into your society, but they're also – end up being users of the welfare goodie system instead of being productive members of that society, your country goes to a tipping point. We may have already gone over the edge. So when everybody talks about diversity on its own is not what the problem is, but it's the lack of bringing that diversity into the traditional melting pot and melding it together with the American system. You can have Hispanics, you can have blacks, you can have Caucasians, you can have everybody, but they all need to be in the system and sign on to that system to make it work effectively. When all they do is battle each other and hate each other and fight each other, you create nothing more than chaos. And so I think everybody but the mainstream media and the Washington guys and their cronies understand what's happening. Everybody else understands what's happening. And the others
well,
don't.
I would agree
and,
with that.
They better get used to what's happening. They better get used to understanding what's happening, because beneath all these headlines, you know, we got these structured polls that are designed to attain a desired result, either through the wording used or through the sampling methodology. But all of this crap, and that's what it is, people are beginning to understand what it is, and an inferno of Americans is building that's just fed up with the lies, false reporting, and the data. They want the corruption out, and they want a new order, one that is by no means a new world order, but one that's based on legitimacy, sovereignty, honor, and free will, among other things. That's what I think.
Well, that's a mouthful, Jim. I mean, think about it for a second. Isn't that the universal right of mankind, right? We organize to accomplish goals, but we don't organize these structures to be led by them. In other words, these folks are leading as opposed to, you know, reflecting on what the general populace in any country that you want to name really was looking to do. Now, I saw something interesting. I'm going to digress for just a second, if you will allow me. One of the websites
sure.
I look at, Burning Platform, it had a little notation. It had the Confederate flag on one side, and it had the Nation of Islam, or, you know, with the crescent and the star. And it said that that's... the Confederacy, the flag represents hate, and then the other is a religion of peace, right? And underneath it, it was kind of clever. It said, since 9/11, 28,031 attacks, right? And then with the Confederate flag said zero. And, you know, the thing here is that, yeah, just think about that for a minute, okay? Religion of peace versus the flag of hate. What are we talking about? Okay, I think we've reached a tipping point, not in the sense that I don't think we can recover. It'll take a concerted effort. It'll take a lot of time. We talked about this.
Yes, I know. Yes, we did.
People are now aware, all right? People are starting to question, you know, looking around going, what in the heck is going on here, right? You know, my 28-year-old son's living in the basement. You know, this is not working. You know, I mean, I haven't had a raise in 6 years, and yet these guys are distributing billions of dollars among themselves and having a grand old time. The markets go up or down 200
yep.
points. You know, George Soros shorts this and buys that, and, you know, oh, he's great. I mean, all right, George, you believe in you know, communal welfare, then spread some of it around to some of us. You know, God forbid, no, that's my money. Well, no, if you believe you believe what you say, then you'd have to say, oh, well, that's $3 billion I ripped off from everybody needs to get spread around into some charities. But I kind of believe that people are now more aware, they're more tuned into what's going on. The reality around them has now forced them to acknowledge it. You know, when everything's peachy keen and everybody's doing well and, you know, money's flowing and it's all great and good and, you know, everybody's fat and happy, people don't ask questions.
Right.
But the more pain you inflict, the more desperation. And there are a lot of desperate folks in this country. Don't make no mistake. That people start to get agitated. People start to ask questions. People start to, you know, line up on sides. It's like choosing a baseball team in a sandlot. Okay, I'll take you and you and you, and you guys go over there. That sort of thing is starting to happen now. And I think we have reached a point where it's very possible we can actually tip this thing back in the favor of freedom. And that's why I think the Brexit was so important. I know you felt the same way. And it seems to me it's about time. How about that?
Well, I couldn't agree more. I couldn't agree more because I think it was the shot heard around the modern day shot heard around the world. I really think it was, and I think you're starting to see repercussions from it all over. And one of the reasons why the EU snobs, the elitists, are so upset is they know what's about to happen to them. Their little cushy little life is going to end because there are a number of EU countries which are ready to pull the plug as well. I really believe
right.
that. And I think there are a lot of Americans who say we need to dump whatever it is that's running this place and we got to change it. We got to get rid of these guys. I mean, I look at some of these fellas that are – there are a few guys that hang in there that are really, really still good and really trying hard. But they are so outnumbered by the guys who have decided to just suck off the system. That's what's going on. They're at the government teat, if you will, and they're living off of it, and they love it because they're living high off the hog. And they've lost all sight of their constituents, of their country. It's all about me, 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 and it's got to stop. And it doesn't matter which party they're from. It doesn't matter whether they're independents, Republicans, Democrats, whatever. If that's the way they look at it, they need to go. They need to go.
Right.
And what it takes is for the average American, instead of listening to the crap from the talking heads, to really take a look at what's going on, sit down and think about it very, very carefully, what they're seeing. Because usually your eyes, if you really pay attention, will tell you the truth. And I look around this country, and I look around the people that I see in the grocery stores, at the shopping centers, and everywhere else you go and anywhere, and they don't look very happy, and they know they've got problems. There are a few that don't, but most do. So they need to be addressed. And that's the reason I wanted to do this particular program, because I think that truth and honesty, unless we're willing to face the truth and be honest about it, we will never, ever solve the problems that we face, and these problems are huge. And if you want to do like D.A. Mosby in Baltimore and decide that the truth is whatever her ideology tells you, the same thing that many in Washington do, including our dear president and some of the candidates, then you know what? You can do that all you want. You can believe it if you want to, but you're on the wrong side of the history, and you're on the wrong side of God. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. Believe it or not, it's up to you. I'm just telling you what I believe in my heart is the case. Last word from you, Mark.
I believe you're right on the money. I believe this is a classic example of it's hard to keep good people down. And we're going to see that based on our traditions, based on religion and God and our beliefs in our system that we originally established, and people are going to get back to a more originalistic approach to governance. And you're absolutely right. It comes from God. It's a universal set of beliefs. You know, the Ten Commandments out there for a reason, folks. You know, it's pretty much, and you can't say that, you know, you might be able to say, well, you know, that the U.S. Constitution has to be adjusted to meet, you know, new circumstances and expanded or stretched to here or there. But it has to be within the framework that the founders actually meant it, you know.
Well, I agree with that.
You know, I mean, because, you know, there's some things they left off because they didn't really, you know, have to deal with that. It's like the difference between an AR-15 and a musket.
Yeah.
You know, you can't judge, you know, based on technology in 1776 versus what it is here in 2016. So you say, okay, well, you know, some things have to adjust and change, but, you know, the principles are still the same, and it still applies to the way you live your life and the way you should be governed. So there you have it. Great show, my friend. Thank you.
That's good.
I've enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. And as I get ready to go off the air, I'll remind everybody that, of course, all of my shows are available on demand. If you like them, I hope you pass them on. This particular show will be available in about 10 minutes once we go off. My site that you can look at for that is blogtalkradio.com/North Florida Writer Live. That's blogtalkradio.com/North Florida Writer Live. And I also write a blog on my website, which is NorthFloridaWriter.com. Top of the first page, there's a menu where it points out where the blog is. Just click on that, and it'll take you to my most recent article. I've been writing on there since 2012, so there's a lot of stuff. It covers a lot of different things. Anyway, folks, I wanted to close with this. Yesterday was my birthday, and I won't say how old I am, but I'm. Let's put it this way. Let's put it this way, where the hair is missing, it's turning gray. where the hair is remaining, it's turning gray. I've got that back with me. But anyway, I got so many nice notes from people on social media, and I really appreciate that. You know, it makes an old guy feel pretty good. But, you know, I look back on my life, and I think about what was probably the biggest influence on hopefully making me into a decent man that I hope I am today. And it was really my mother, because my dad died when I was a young boy, and mom had to be mom and dad for a young boy from 9 up until I went off to college. And she did a good job of it. Oh, I disagreed with her sometimes, and we had our moments, but I loved her dearly, and she was a good woman. And I'll tell you, I think if she came back to visit right now, she'd turn on the TV and say, "Thanks, son, enjoyed the visit, but I think I'll go back home," because I don't think she'd recognize it. And that to me is horrible. But anyway, I was trying to think, okay, what kind of song can I play that would match up with that? So I'm going to pick that old one from a great guy who died recently, Merle Haggard. He just died within the last month or so. And he had a great song called "Mama Tried." So we're going to close out with "Mama Tried." God bless you, folks. Have a great day. Stand for America, please. Stand for America. She's worth saving. And stand with God while you do it, because he's the one we need with the answers. And bless you all. I hope to have you back on again soon. My next show will be tomorrow. It'll be up online later today, the specifics. It's a local political issue. And with that, folks, I'm just going to say bye now.
First thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, no one to change my mind. Mama tried. The one and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my Sunday learning, with the bad I kept on turning till mama couldn't hold me anymore. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but mama tried, mama tried, mama tried to raise me better. But her pleading I denied, that leaves only me to blame, 'cause mama tried. Dear old daddy, rest his soul, left my mom a heavy load. She tried so very hard to fill his shoes, working hours without rest, wanted me to have the best. She tried to raise me right, but I refused. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but mama tried, mama tried, mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause mama tried.